वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः नमः पङ्कजनाभाय नमः पङ्कजमालिने नमः पङ्कजनेत्राय नमस्ते पङ्कजाङ्गये हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपुराय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती राधानाथस्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमो विष्णुपुराय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताकस्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमो आचार्यपदायनताय कृपप्रदायिने गौरकथाधामदाय नगरग्रामतारिणे नमो विष्णुपुराय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So the topic that we are going to be discussing on is the Nectarian Meadows of Sri Gopi Gita. So just to give a prelude to the setting of Sri Gopi Gita, Sri Krishna, he used to play his flute every night, a special note for the gopis, to invoke the gopis to come and partake in conjugal pastimes, in participating in the Rasa Leela, in getting together for Madhurya Ras, for the epitome of Madhurya Ras. Sri Krishna would invoke the gopis by playing on his flute, and the gopis would come running, leaving everything else. They would come running to the, to reciprocate with Krishna's transcendental flute, and then they would, just have lot of frolicking, lot of sporting, lot of different activities that they would all do together, and then they would dance. They would partake in the rasa dance. And then at one point during the rasa dance, it is explained that the gopis, they became, because Krishna expanded himself to dance with each and every one of the gopis. And when the gopis saw that, oh, Krishna is with me, Krishna is with me, then the gopis had a little bit of ego in them, just a tiny bit, that they were feeling very proud that, oh, look, Krishna, he has left everybody else and he is with me. So as soon as Krishna saw that tinge of pride in the gopis, Krishna immediately disappeared from the rasa dance. And whom did he disappear with? He disappeared with his most beloved Srimati Radharani. He disappeared with her. He just left the rasa dance with her. And then the gopis immediately realized their mistake, that they were feeling so proud in the presence of Krishna. So immediately they just you know, had that mood of surrender, and they started begging and they started looking for Krishna, searching for Krishna. And they realized that Krishna has gone off with Srimati Radharani, and they started following the footsteps of the divine couple and, you know, seeing where they went, because the sandy banks of the Yamuna had nicely impressioned the transcendental lotus feet impressions of the divine couple. And Radha and Krishna's lotus feet were on the sandy banks of the Yamuna. So the gopis started following this footsteps of the divine couple and Shri Radha Shama Sundar, and they started following the footsteps in searching for Shri Radha Shama Sundar. And at one point, they saw that the impression of the feet became only one, and it was a little more, you know, dug into the sand. It was little more impression. So they were able to imagine that what conclusion they came to that is that they thought that Srimati Radharani, Mahabhav Swarupini Shri Radhe, she must have become very tired. And seeing Shri Radhe being very tired, Krishna must have taken Srimati Radharani on his lap. So he must have carried her. Therefore, her impressions, her lotus feet impressions were no longer there. But then it was only Shama Sundar's lotus feet. And because it was more, you know, deep into the ground, they could understand that Shama Sundara had actually carried Srimati Radharani. And then they were, you know, they were thinking, oh, Sri Radhe is so fortunate. And at that point, they were at one, even for a little bit, they were not feeling envy towards Srimati Radharani. But rather, they were just thinking that Radharani is so fortunate. At least she is there with Krishna. They were feeling so happy that at least Srimati Radharani is there with Krishna, and that Krishna is not alone. So they were feeling very, very happy for Srimati Radharani, and especially that Krishna is not alone, that Radharani is there to take care of Krishna. So they were feeling very happy in that mood. And then after some time, they came to this place called Mansarovar. When they came to Mansarovar, they saw that Srimati Radharani, she is sitting there crying tears of ecstasy, and she's just crying, and that Shama Sundar is nowhere. And then all of the gopis, they came to Srimati Radharani and said, Sri Radhe, what happened? We followed the footsteps and Krishna had carried you. And what happened? Where did Shama Sundar go? Where is Krishna? And why did he leave you? So Srimati Radharani explained to the gopis. She caught all of their hands and she said to them that, you know, you're right, Krishna did carry me because I was very tired walking. So Krishna did carry me, but then when he carried me, I also became a little bit proud that, look, Krishna, you are carrying me. And as soon as I had that thought, Krishna left. Because Srimati Radharani explains that Krishna can tolerate anything in a devotee. Any kind of anartha, Krishna can tolerate. But as soon as pride comes in, Krishna goes to any extent to get rid of the pride of his pure devotees. Krishna can do anything, like how he lifted Govardhan Hill to crush the pride of Indra. So like this, you know, Krishna can do anything to get rid of the pride, because pride, when it comes, it kind of blinds us. So when pride is there, we cannot purely serve Krishna. We cannot be selfless. And love has to be selfless. So when pride comes in, it becomes a little bit selfish. So Krishna always wants that selfless love. That is the highest kind. And then the gopis actually glorified Srimati Radharani and said that, Sri Radhe, although externally you are saying that you became proud, but actually it is not true, because you can never be proud. Rather, you actually thought that we were left behind and that Krishna is alone with you. And you could not tolerate this, that Krishna has left us to be with you. So that you wanted to, you know, also give Krishna to us, and you wanted to also, you know, give that condolence to us. Therefore, you chose to give up Krishna and be with us. So Srimati Radharani, we are so grateful to you. See the mood of the gopis. The gopis, they were able to understand Srimati Radharani's transcendental mood, that Srimati Radharani, she actually is the topmost devotee. If Srimati Radharani is there, Krishna actually does not need anybody, let alone the gopis, but let alone anybody in this, you know, world. Krishna doesn't need anybody. But Srimati Radharani, she knows that Krishna will be happy when everyone comes together and renders service to Krishna together. That is what pleases Krishna the most. So Srimati Radharani knows how to please Krishna in actuality. And even Srimati Radharani, she never feels satisfied to do the service all by herself. She always wants to do it along with her confidential servitors, who are the gopis. And because Krishna left the gopis, therefore Srimati Radharani, out of her compassion, she felt that how sad the gopis would be without Krishna and her. So therefore, she actually put in this pride in her, and she just made Krishna disappear from her also, so that they all together, the gopis and Srimati Radharani together, they would be able to beg Krishna to come in front of them again. So this is the compassionate nature of Srimati Radharani, who is the supreme most mother. Just like the mother, she cannot see the anxiety of any of her children. Srimati Radharani, in that same similar mood, cannot see any of the living entities going through any kind of suffering. So she goes out of her way, sacrificing her own, you know, love. She sacrifices so that each and every one of the gopis, each and every one of the living entities can be given an opportunity to render service to Krishna. That is the supreme, most compassionate position of Srimati Radharani. And that is why she is so dear to Krishna, because she never thinks for herself. She always thinks about others. And that is why when Krishna appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna took on this compassionate mood of Sri Radhe. And that is why, without any discrimination, Krishna is able to distribute his own Krishna prema, because he is in the mood, the most compassionate mood of Srimati Radharani. So here, sitting in Manasarovar, the gopis and Srimati Radharani, they started crying and pleading and begging to Krishna to, you know, and begging for forgiveness for their, you know, so-called pride, and begging him to appear in front of them, to become visible to their eyes. So this is the brief setting of Sri Gopi Gita. So we will read from, you know, the Gopi Gita actually appears as part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is in 10th canto, which is the Samam Bonam, and chapter 31, and there are 19 verses of the Gopi Gita. So we will, of course, not be able to cover each and every one of them today, but we will go in a succession. So we will start with the first verse. This is from 10th canto, the Samam Bonam, chapter 31, entitled The Gopi's Songs of Separation. Text 1. Gopyo chuhu jayati te dhikam jannana vraja Shrayata Indira Shashwadatrahi Daita Drishyata Dikshuta Vaka Tvai Dhrita Sava Tvam Vichinvate. Translation. The gopis said, O beloved, your birth in the land of Vraja has made it exceedingly glorious, and thus Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us. So here, the first verse, Srila Shukadev Goswami is saying, Gopya Uchuhu, means all the gopis together. You know, there were millions and millions of gopis, and the gopis, along with Srimati Radharani, they are actually singing this Gopi Gita. So that is why it is said it's not Gopi Uvacha, which means a single gopi, but rather it is Gopya. Gopya means many. And Uchuhu means together, they all said these verses. And Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, His Holiness Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj is such an amazing, amazing personality. We are so fortunate in our movement that, you know, we have such a dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, who has, you know, so beautifully narrated this Gopi Gita. And Maharaj says, so most of my talk today and in the consecutive ones will be based on the teachings from Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj and Srila Radha Raman Maharaj, and also some of the other disciples of Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Vargas. So I will be basing my talk on the words spoken by these great personalities. And although at this point I would like to also mention that I am definitely not qualified to talk about this esoteric subject matter. You know, this is the 10th canto. It is the Samam Bonam, as it is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, that, you know, we are definitely not qualified, especially myself, to even speak on this, you know, such an esoteric and deep transcendental subject matter. But our only hope is that if we can truly repeat the words of our acharyas, then, we have some hope to at least understand, like a dwarf trying to touch the moon. I'm making this humble attempt, but I beg from blessings from all of you and our Guru Vargas and our previous acharyas, so that I'll be able to speak just repeating their words and, you know, not anything else, not deviate anything else. So with that, begging for all of your blessings, I'll try to explain what I have heard. So Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, he very beautifully explains that this song of separation, this Gopi Geet, Maharaj says that this is not actually just Gita. It's, you know, not just a song. It's not a mere song. Rather, Maharaj says this is actually the crying of the gopis. He says, Ye gopiyon ka krandan hai. This is the way that the gopis are really crying and, you know, begging for the mercy of Krishna. They're begging that Krishna, please, please appear in front of us. Make yourself visible to our eyes. And the first line says, Jayati te adhikam, janmana vraja. Now this particular line, the first line, has two meanings. Jayati means all glories, and adhikam means, you know, let there be, exceeding, let there be too much, or, you know, let it exceed, your glories, let it exceed. Janmana vraja. So Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj explains that there are two meanings to this line told by the gopis, very deep. He says that, first of all, vraja is very glorious because, you know, it is a holy land, and you have made your transcendental appearance in this holy land of Vraja, and therefore you have exceeded the glories of Vraja, and the Vraja Dham also has exceeded your glories. So it is both ways, that the Dham has complimented you and you have complimented the Dham. So that is a very beautiful explanation given by Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, that he says, Vajayati te adhikam janmana vraja. Your appearance in Vraj has made the glorious dham of Vraj more glorious, and even your, your own glories have also become more glorious because of your appearance in Brajadham. So it's very beautiful that how the dham is glorified here by the gopis. They start with that. And the second line is saying, Shrayat Indira Shashwadatrahi. That Shashwat means always, eternally. Indira is the goddess of fortune. That because of the glories of Sri Brajadham, Indira, the goddess of fortune, is always eternally residing here. She never gives up Brajadham. Daita Drishyatam Dikshutavaka. Daita Drishyatam means, O beloved. Daita means, O my dear beloved. Drishyatam means, may you become visible to our. And Dikshu. Some disturbance, sorry about that. Dikshutavakas means that your devotees like us, we are, you know, Twai, because we are there, we are sustaining just for you. Our lives are meant for you. You are the one for whom we actually live, and we are your devoted servants. We've got no existence other than you, my dear beloved Krishna. So therefore, we are begging you, we are really searching for you everywhere, O Krishna, and we are, you know, begging you to please become visible to our eyes. So this way, this is the first verse of the Gopi Gita, and this is how, you know, the gopis are begging to Krishna to please, please make his transcendental appearance, you know, in front of them. And it will be revealed later by the gopis that they will understand, they will say that, Krishna, you are actually present everywhere, but you just have to become visible to our eyes. You have to allow us to see you. So this is a very, very, you know, confidential subject that the, you know, the gopis have revealed for all of us as well, because Krishna, as soon as we say Krishna, Krishna is actually dancing on our tongue. Krishna's name and Krishna himself is non-different. But we are not able to realize that because we are still not allowed to enter into that transcendental realm, to relish that. To, you know, Krishna, he is everywhere. He is in every atom. So why aren't we able to see Krishna? Because our eyes are not tainted with the salve of love. As is said in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says, Premanjana Ashurita Bhakti Vilochanena Shanta Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundarama Chintya Gunaswarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, Tamaham Bhajami. So, Lord Brahma is saying that unless our eyes are endowed with the salve of love, Prema Anjana. Anjana means kajal. And prema means the kajal of love. Only if we are anointing our eyes with the salve of love, with the kajal of love on our eyes, only then Shama Sundara will become visible to our eyes. We can see Krishna face to face. So that is revealed by the gopis here, that they understand that Krishna is there in front of them, but they are not allowed to see Krishna. That only when Krishna mercifully allows himself to be seen, because he will be pleased with the loving devotion of the gopis, then he will be manifest. He will manifest himself in front of the gopis' eyes. And that is what, even while this gopi ghee, our meditation should be that the divine couple, Shri Radha Madhava and the Ashtasakhis and all the gopis, they should become manifest in front of our eyes. They should mercifully be pleased with our loving prayers, and they should allow us to have their darshan. With that mood, we will move on to text 2 of Sri Gopi Gita. Sharadudashaye sadhu jatasa sarasi jodara Shri Musha Drisha Suratana Thate Ashukadasika Varada Nighnato Neha Kimvada. Translation. O Lord of love, in beauty your glance excels the whirl of the finest, most perfectly formed lotus within the autumn pond. O bestower of benedictions, you are killing the maidservants who have given themselves to you freely without any price. Isn't this murder? So the gopis are questioning Kim Vadha, that why are you murdering us, O Krishna? And how they are glorifying Krishna in the first line is very beautifully the gopis are saying that Sharadu Dasaye Sadhu Jatasak. Sadhu Jat means Sharasi Jodara Shri Musha Drisha, means in the autumn season, Sarasi means the lotus flowers. So first of all, the lotus flowers are very, very auspicious. They are, you know, so auspicious, you know, of course, because of their soft nature. They are very, very captivating fragrance that they emanate. And, of course, their beauty, the elegance with which the lotus blooms. And also there's one very important reason why every limb of Krishna's body is compared to the lotus flower. We say lotus feet, lotus eyes, lotus feet, lotus hands. We say everything, you know, lotus navel. We say everything in connection to the lotus. And there's a very special reason, apart from all the reasons that I just gave, there's one very special reason why the limbs of Krishna's body is compared to that of the lotus. It is because the lotus, it grows in a little pond. Generally, you know, sometimes that pond is not very nice. It's quite filthy. But the lotus, it grows out of that filth. And it goes beyond that filth. And the waters of that pond cannot even stay for a moment on the lotus flower, nor the lotus leaf. It immediately drops off. It immediately falls away. So although that lotus flower is, you know, emanating in that, you know, little pond, but it is not part of that pond. So similarly, when Krishna makes his transcendental appearance in this material world, Krishna is not bound by the rules of this material world, nor is his transcendental body a part of this material world. Krishna is completely transcendental. Although he's in this material world, just like that lotus flower is untouched by the waters of that little pond, similarly, Krishna is untouched by any material modes or any material realm. So that is one very important reason why Krishna is always compared to the lotus flower. Because apart from his, the lotus flower's beauty, fragrance, softness, you know, and the general appearance of the lotus is so enchanting. But because of this special feature of the lotus that it is not part of, you know, the place where it is emanating from, therefore, Krishna's transcendental limbs are compared to that of the lotus. So the gopis are saying that you are yourself a lotus flower. You are Sarasijo. Sarasija means a lotus flower. You are like that lotus flower. But the gopis are saying you're not just any lotus flower. You know, there are many kinds of lotus flowers, right? But the gopis are giving specifically what kind of lotus flower is Krishna. They're saying, Sharadodashaye. In the autumn season, is a very, very special season for the blooming of a very, very special kind of lotus, which is called, you know, Sadhu Jata, you know, the jat of that lotus, the caste of that lotus is sadhu. Sadhu jata sat. You know, that is the special quality or the special feature of that particular lotus which blooms in the autumn season. It is sadhu jat. It is, you know, it is sadhu jata, means it is very, very, very auspicious, extremely auspicious. And you are that lotus flower, our dear Krishna, that is the lotus flower you are. So unique, so, you know, rare, but extremely, extremely auspicious. Surata na thate ashulka dasika. You know, I particularly, you know, when I was listening to this explanation of this third line of this Gopi Gita, of course, you know, our hard hearts, you know, very seldom, you know, we have some tears in the eyes, but the way the gopis are putting themselves in such a, you know, humble position, they are saying, we are not just your dasis, Krishna, we are not just your maid servants, but we are ashulka dasika. Shulka means those who get paid, they get some mulya, shulka. Means they get reward for their servitorship. You know, when we have any maid servants at our home, we pay them. They are called shulkas. But the gopis, they are telling Krishna, we are your ashulka dasika. Ashulka means we are your unpaid maid servants. Which means whether you pay us, whether you don't pay us, whether you come upon us and you trample upon us or you embrace us, whatever you do, Krishna, to us, we are your servants unconditionally. That is the mood of the gopis, that we have completely sold ourselves to you without any price. There is, you know, without any price, we are just your sold-out servants. Hey, Natha. Oh, Krishna, we are your sold-out servants. And Varada Nignato. Neha kim vadha, instead of giving us at least the blessing of your darshan, varada nijnato, you know, you're just coming and murdering us. And by not being visible to our eyes, it is as good as murdering us. That is what the gopis are saying. That Krishna, please don't do this to us. That, you know, we have no life. You are our life. That without you in front of us, how can we even, you know, survive? So please, Krishna, please appear in front of our eyes. In text 3, the gopis are saying, Visha jala apyaya Vyanarakshasat Varashamarutat Vaidyutanalam Vrishamayatmajat Vishvatobhayat Rishabhate Vayam Rakshita Muhu. Translation. O greatest of personalities, you have repeatedly saved us from all kinds of danger, from poisoned water, from the terrible man-eater Agha, from the great rains, from the wind demon, from the fiery thunderbolt of Indra, from the bull demon, and from the son of Mayadhanava. So here the gopis are saying that, my dear Krishna, Vishajala, you know, here they are referring to the Yamuna when it was getting poisoned by the poisonous effect of Kaliya, the serpent. So Vishajala, you saved us from that poisonous waters of the Kaliya serpent. You saved us, Vyapyayad. You saved us from there, the water that was contaminated and poisoned by Kaliya. Vyala Rakshasad. Vyala means very fearsome, but Vyala also means the snake. Rakshasad. This in reference is specifically meaning Aghasura. Vyala Rakshasad means Aghasura. So Krishna has saved us from even Aghasura by killing that demon Aghasura. Varsha Maruta. When there was torrential rains in Vrindavan, you saved us by becoming Giridhari. You lifted Sri Giriraj Govardhan and you gave all of us shelter under the umbrella of Sri Giriraj Govardhan. You saved us from the torrential rains which were sent by Indra. Marutad, the wind demon Trinavarta, when he came, you saved the entire Braj. The Trinavarta was carrying, you know, the entire Vrindavan was under the cyclonic effect of Trinavarta, but you killed Trinavarta when you were just a little baby. You killed Trinavarta and protected all of us. Vaidyutanalat. You know, when Vaidyuta means the thunderbolt. When Indra was striking his thunderbolt on us, you protected us from that also by, you know, giving us the shelter of Sri Giriraj's umbrella. Vrisha. Vrisha means the bull demon Arishtasura. Of course, at this point, Arishtasura, we know after killing this bull demon, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they refused the touch of Krishna. Because the gopis and Radharani, they said that, Krishna, you've become contaminated and you've got the sin of killing a bull. Therefore, we are not going to allow you to touch us. And then Krishna said, oh, so what should I do? So then the gopis and Radharani said, go and take bath in all the tirthas and then you can come and touch us. And then Krishna said, who's going to go around and go to all the tirthas? I will invite all the tirthas right here in Brajadham. So Krishna, he, you know, took his left feet and then he just struck on the ground and it made a huge impression. And then Krishna invited all the tirthas, Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri, everyone, all of the personification of the rivers, they all came, all the tirthas, they came and they entered into the reservoir of this kunda, made by the impression of Krishna's left lotus feet. And then Krishna took bath, and that kunda came to be known as Sri Shama Kunda. And then the gopis and Radharani were so happy, and they came running to Krishna. As soon as Krishna came out from taking his bath, they came and ran to Krishna to embrace him. And then Krishna said, stop, no, no, no. Now you all have become, you know, you all have become sinful because you told me, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you told me that I have become touched by sin, so therefore you all have committed sinful reactions now. You all have got the sinful reactions, therefore you should also take bath and get yourselves purified. So Srimati Radharani and the gopis were very embarrassed. They said, yes, that is true, because Krishna, he is the Supreme Transcendental Personality of Godhead. How can he be touched by any sin? So that was a mistake. Radharani said, yes, that is a mistake on our part. So therefore, yes, we will take bath. So then Krishna said, okay, come, take bath in my kunda. This is Shama Kunda, take bath here. So Radharani said, who's going to take part in your kunda, Krishna? It has all your sins is washed over there. We don't want to take part and touch those waters also. We'll make our separate kunda. And then the gopis and Srimati Radharani, they started digging their own kunda right next to Shamakund. And then, you know, they were digging with their, you know, soft lotus hands, and they were getting very tired. So then they took out their bangles, and then they started digging. They started digging, and then therefore one of the other names of Sri Radha Kund is also Kangan Kund, because the gopis and Sri Radhe, they dug that kunda with their kangan, with their bangles. So it is also very famously known as Sri Kangan Kunda. And then after the kunda was dug and everything, it was a huge, you know, reservoir. And then Krishna said, okay, now you did the digging, how are you going to fill it in with water? So, you know, should I ask all the tirthas to come to your kunda? Then Radharani said, no way, I don't want your tirthas to come to my kunda. I will get water from Manasi Ganga. And then Srimati Radharani, she lined up all of her, you know, beautiful gopis. They stood in line, and with golden water pots, they started filling water from the Manasi Ganga, which is around almost, you know, 3.5 kilometers away. Manasi Ganga is that distance. And Radharani made that whole big line, and they were passing down pots of golden pots of water from Manasi Ganga and then pouring it into Sri Radha Kund or Kangan Kund. And this was, of course, taking, you know, immense amount of time, and the gopis and Srimati Radharani was also so exhausted. So Krishna couldn't see the exhaustion of Srimati Radharani and the gopis, and Krishna then requested the tirthas, that he said that, oh my dear tirthas, why don't you go and approach Srimati Radharani? She is very compassionate mother. So when you go and approach her, she will definitely give, you know, permission for all of you to enter into her kunda. So then by being instructed by Krishna, the tirthas personified, they came in front of Srimati Radharani and they begged Srimati Radharani that, my dear mother, please allow us to enter your reservoir. And then Srimati Radharani immediately, you know, because she cannot see her children in anxiety, Srimati Radharani immediately gave them permission that, yes, yes, of course, please come inside. And then, as you know, this shows that, you know, when Srimati Radharani, when she's dealing with Krishna, she's in a different mood, you know, just like a, you know, just like a lover. And, you know, how the lover deals with her beloved. You know, there is mood of competition, there is mood of, you know, challenge. All of that increases their rasa. But whenever, you know, anyone takes shelter of Srimati Radharani, she immediately, you know, manifests her motherly compassion to them. So immediately Srimati Radharani allowed the tirthas to enter into her kunda, and the tirthas, they just broke in from Shamakund and they entered into the waters. Entered into the kunda of Srimati Radharani, and the Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they all took bath in Sri Radha Kund, and Krishna himself also took bath in Sri Radha Kund. And Krishna declared that day that anybody who takes bath in Sri Radha Kund will be blessed with Krishna Prem, because this is the liquid mercy, it is the liquid form of Srimati Radharani herself. Krishna himself declared this that particular day. So, you know, whenever we talk about Arishtasura, you know, if we don't mention this pastime, I feel that, you know, we are not doing proper justice to the pastime of Arishtasura. So because of this killing of this demon, Arishtasura, we have the physical manifestation of Sri Radhakund and Sri Shamakund. So Krishna has even killed Arishtasura, and then he has also killed Vyomasura. Then he's killed. So, you know, for all these, you know, different attacks that the Brajvasis had, main point what the gopis are telling in this text 3 is that, Krishna, you have always come and protected us. Even sometimes without us asking for protection, you have, you know, always protected us. You know, we have very seldom we have come to you and said, oh, Krishna, save us, save us, save us. But even without us asking, you have always come and protected us. and saved us from all of these dangers that have come into Vrindavan. So now we are in the danger of losing our life because you are not in front of us. So Krishna, why? Why are you not coming now and protecting us? That is the question that the gopis are asking through this particular verse. So we will end here, and from next time we will continue on with text 4 onwards from Sri Gopi Gita. So if there's any questions, comments, or reflections you can take at this time. And yeah, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Mataji, thank you so much, Mataji. Very, very nectarian class. Very, very beautiful explanations and very beautiful and melodious singing of the verses. Thank you so much. If anybody has any questions, we can ask Mataji now.
Very, very wonderful nectar, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Hi, Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very beautiful class. We learn a lot. Thank you so much for giving us class, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, so we can end the call if there's no more questions. Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much for giving us your very, very valuable association and time.
Grateful to all of you for giving this opportunity. So grateful. Thank you.
Let's offer obeisances to Mataji. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnava.